वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna. So we welcome everyone to this Shri Balaram Jayanti festival. We have chosen to speak on this verse. This is Canto 10, Chapter 15, text number 6. So this is Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram enter the Vrindavan forest. And this verse is specifically spoken by Lord Krishna glorifying Lord Balaram.
एते लीनस्तव यशोखिल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदिपुरुषानुपथम् भजन्ते प्रायो अमि मुनिगण भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वने पिन जहत्यनघात्मदैवम् एते लीनस्तव यशोखिल लोकतीर्थम् गायन्त आदिपुरुषानुपथम् भजन्ते प्रायो अमी मुनिगणा भवदीय मुख्या गूढ़ं वने पिन जहत्यनघात्मदैवम्
Matajis.
Inastava yasho khila loka tirtham Tyadi purusha nupatham bhajante Yomi munigana bhavadiya mukhya
We'll read word-to-word translation and then purport also. Word-to-word translation. Ete, these, alinaha, bees, tava, your yashaha, glories, akhila loka, for all worlds, tirtham, the place of pilgrimage, gayantaha, are chanting, adi purusha, O original personality of Godhead, anupatham, following you along the path, bhajante, they are engaged in worshipping, prayaha, for the most part, ami, these, munigana, great sages, bhavadiya, among your devotees, mukhyaha, the most intimate, gudham, hidden, vane, within the forest, api, even though, na jahati, they do not abandon, anagha, O sinless one, atmadaivam, their own worshipable deity. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. So translation. O original personality, these bees must all be great sages and most elevated devotees of yours, for they are worshipping you by following you along the path and chanting your glories, which are themselves a holy place for the entire world. Though you have disguised yourself within this forest, O sinless one, they refuse to abandon you, their worshipable Lord. Purport. The word Gudham is significant in this verse. It indicates that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form of Krishna or Balram appears like an ordinary human being within the material world, great sages always recognize the Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth. All the transcendental forms of Godhead are eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. Exactly the opposite of our material bodies, which are temporary and full of misery and ignorance. One meaning of the word Tirtha is the means for crossing beyond material existence. Simply, by hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord or by chanting them, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform beyond material existence. Thus, the Lord's transcendental glories are here described as a Tirtha for everyone in the world. The word Gayantaha indicates that great sages give up their vows of silence and other selfish processes to glorify the activities of the Supreme Lord. Real silence means to not speak nonsense, to limit one's verbal activities to those sounds, statements and discussions relevant to the loving service of the Supreme Lord. The word anagha indicates that the Supreme Lord never performs sinful or offensive activities. The word also indicates that the Lord immediately excuses a sin or offense committed by a sincere, loving devotee who may accidentally deviate from the Lord's service. In the specific context of this verse, the word anagha indicates that Lord Balram was not disturbed by the bees who were constantly following him, anupatham. The Lord blessed them by saying, O bees, come into my confidential grove and feel free to taste its fragrance. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतम सावधूतम परिजन सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे बृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त बृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Before beginning this morning class on this most auspicious festival of Shri Balaram Jayanti, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees. I am seeing today's morning class as an appetizer for the real celebration that is happening in the evening today. And today His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu will be speaking in the evening. So this is just something to get us started on this festival. If there are any mistakes or if there are any shortcomings, kindly forgive me. So here we are reading about Lord Krishna's glorification of Lord Balaram. So usually all the living entities of this world, they glorify Lord Krishna. And here is Lord Krishna glorifying Lord Balaram. So who is this personality called Lord Balaram? So in this particular form, he appears as an elder brother of Krishna. But it is mentioned, Sarva avatari Krishna swayama bhagavan tahara dvitiya deha shri balaram. So tahara dvitiya deha. There is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. It is just a secondary manifestation of Krishna. Sometimes the Mayavadis, especially Sripad Shankaracharya in his Vedanta Sutra commentary, he mentions in one place that actually Lord Sankarshan, Lord Balaram, is an ordinary Jiva. He is not Vishnu Tattva. But then there are several flaws in that to understand the identity of Lord Balaram. And Sripad Ramanujacharya especially has dealt with this point of how Lord Balaram is not a Jiva. In fact, he is the Supreme Lord Himself. So he gives some examples that it is clearly mentioned in the Pancharatras that Vasudev gives rise to Sankarshan, Sankarshan gives rise to Pradyumna, and Pradyumna gives rise to Aniruddha. So Vasudev is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Sankarshan, who comes from Vasudev, is mentioned as Jiva. But then it is mentioned that Pradyumna appears from Sankarshan. So Pradyumna is the representative deity of the mind. And then Aniruddha appears from Pradyumna. And Aniruddha is the predominant deity of ego. So then Sripad Ramanujacharya takes up this point that if he is called a Jiva, then how can the mind, the presiding deity of the mind, appear from a Jiva? The Jiva cannot give rise to the mind,
Because it is clearly mentioned by Krishna in the Gita. The eight separated energies, Bhumi, Apo, Analo, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Revacha, Ahankara also. So these are my separated energies. So they come from Krishna, they don't come from a Jiva. So if Sankarsana is treated as Jiva, then how can mind be created from Jiva? So it contradicts the basic tattva of the Vedic understanding. So he says, when it is mentioned there that Sankarsana is a Jiva, what it mentions is just like, so Vasudeva is the Supreme Lord, Pradyumna is the predominating deity of the mind, Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the ego. Similarly, Lord Sankarsana is the predominating deity, the ashraya for all the Jivas. So Swamsha and Vibhinnamsha. Swamsha means the forms of Krishna which are non-different from Krishna. And Krishna also expands as Vibhinna Amsha. So there are some expansions which are separate from Krishna. So the Jivas, they come in Vibhinna Amsha. So when it is mentioned that Lord Sankarsana is a Jiva, it mentions actually he is the Ashraya, he is the source of all the Jivas beyond Vasudeva. So Vasudeva gives rise to Sankarsana and then so on. So that's the primary understanding. Amshera Amshayai Kalataranam Govindera Pratimurti Shri Balaram. And also, okay, he is not a Jiva, so his Vishnu Tattva is on the category of the Supreme Lord. But Amsha is the first expansion. A portion of Krishna is called Amsha. And then Amsha, when again there is a portion of that, that is called a Kala. So, first expansion is Amsha, then it is Kala. So here it is mentioned, Amshera Amshayai Kala Taranam Govindera Pratimurti Shri Balaram. So please don't mistake Lord Balaram to be Amsha or even Kala. Actually, Govindera Pratimurti, there's no difference between Krishna and Balaram. Krishna is dark in color and Balaram is whitish, white in color. Mentioned in the sixth canto, the color of Lord Balaram is the color of the white filaments inside a lotus flower. So if you happen to see a lotus flower, you can check that. Apana ke bhritya kari Krishna Prabhu jane Krishnera kalara kala apana ka mane. So we established he is not a Jiva, he is not even Kala, he is not Amsha, he is Pratimurti. But what about Balaram himself? How does he think himself? So it is mentioned, Apanake Bhrityakari, he considers, he makes himself a servant. And Krishna Prabhu Jane, okay, Krishna is my master. Although he is Pratimurti, but he says, I am servant, Krishna is my master. And then he says, Krishnera Kalara Kala Apanake Mane. So Kala is already portion of portion, and then he is considers himself. If you ask Balaram, who are you, then he will say, actually I am Kala Kala, I am Amsha of Kala. So he is making himself servant of servant. Krishnera Kalara Kala Apana Kamane. He considers himself as a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Ekai Swarupa Dohe Bhinna Matra Kaya Adya Kaya Vyuha Krishna Lilara Sahaya. Ekai Swarupa Dohe Bhinna Matra Kaya. So they are one and the same, but it's just that for the purpose of pastimes they have two forms. Krishna Lilara Sahaya, and his primary duty in this incarnation is he aids Krishna in his pastimes. Seita Ananta Shesha Bhakta Avatar Ishwarera Seva Vina Nahi Janeyar. He is Ananta, he is unlimited. He is also called Shesha. So Shesha means because he has reached the limits of servitude to Krishna. Any service to Krishna, he has done it. Chhatra, Paduka, Shaya, Upadhana Vasan, Arama Avasa, Yajna Sutra, Simhasan. These are different ways in which Lord Balaram expands himself to serve Krishna. What is that? Chhatra, he becomes the umbrella. He becomes the feet, footwear, Paduka. He becomes the bed. Upadhan, he becomes the pillow. Vasana, he becomes the clothes. Arama, he becomes a couch. He becomes Avas, the home, the palace where Krishna stays, is an expansion of Lord Balaram. Yajna Sutra, the sacred thread around Lord Krishna's body, is also an expansion of Lord Balaram. And then Simhasan, the seat on which Lord Balaram stays. So in this way he serves in all ways practically. We have also one point regarding this, which I'll mention in the future, about how he tries to serve more and more. So in this way he is called Shesha. So Seita Ananta Shesha, he is Ananta, he is unlimited, and one way in which he is called Ananta is, he actually does Ananta Seva, in Ananta forms. So there is nothing that he does not do, and to please Krishna, and that too in unlimited forms. Ishwarera Seva Vina Nahe Janayar, he does not know anything else other than Ishwara Seva. So this is his primary mood, although his Prati Murti, but Prabhupada would call Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he would call Lord Balaram as Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead part stays, but then he exemplifies how to serve Krishna. See, Krishna is so exalted that we need to serve him purely. We need to serve him fit as per his standards. But then, impure as we are, how will we know how to serve Krishna? So to set the highest standard, Krishna himself has to teach us. But then he can't give his position as the master. So he expands himself as Lord Balaram to teach us how to serve the fitting master in a fitting way, so that we can become, try to become a fit disciple. That's why that is the story of Lord Balaram. So in ISKCON Mayapur, the head pujari of ISKCON Mayapur, some years back, he was painting the deities of Lord Jagannath. So under the governance of ISKCON Mayapur, there is another temple of Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra at Rajapur, some distance away from Mayapur. So they need to be repainted every year, and we are not mentioning his name because, you know, it just becomes a little embarrassing. But he was painting Lord Jagannath, and that evening there was a function celebrating the disappearance day of one very prominent sannyasi of ISKCON. So that function was also important. And the painting did not finish, and he had to leave for that important function. So against his will, he left that painting unfinished, and he went to attend that important function. So in the evening, when he was resting, so in his dream, he saw Lord Balaram, Lord Baldev from that temple. He was running behind him, chasing him, and out of fear of Lord Balaram, because he was not looking very pleasant, he was looking quite angry. So then he was also running, and then Lord Balaram caught hold of him, pushed him in a ditch, and then he said, "How dare you leave my brother in that condition?" So painting had not finished, and it was quite strong. When Lord Balaram is a bala, he has a lot of physical strength also. So that pujari who was on a bed, it was just two and a half feet above the ground. So in that shock, he actually fell down from the bed. And when he saw himself, he saw that his cheeks were swollen. There was some mercy that he had received. And you know, out of fear, actually, in the dream, he saw that he had fallen in a ditch. So he had fallen off the bed. So Lord Balaram was very angry on him, and you know, this pujari then later realized that Lord Balaram is quite intense about proper standards of service to Lord Krishna. There are many such deities in this temple of Rajapur, where somebody came to one person from another community, but they stay there. They thought, oh, these deities have a lot of bangles and precious ornaments. So one person, when one day there was nobody around, darshan was open, so he tried to enter the altar and tried to steal something off Lord Jagannath. And suddenly he felt something on his cheek. So the deities did not move physically, but then it was Lord Balaram who told him, "Don't even come close." So there are many stories where even people, not only from the Vedic culture, but from other cultures also, have experienced the power of Lord Balaram in Rajapur when they try to harm or they try to lower the standard of service to Lord Krishna. So in the Krishna Leela, which we are discussing from the 10th canto, it is mentioned that Kamsa had imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev. So six succeeding children were killed by Kamsa, and then Devaki was pregnant for the seventh time. So at that time, the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, he called Maya Devi and told her, "It is my wish that you transfer the pregnancy, the embryo of Devaki, to Rohini, who is staying in Nanda Gokul with Nanda Maharaj." And in the morning, people thought that Devaki had a miscarriage. And then Lord Krishna told that after you transfer, because you are forcibly dragging him from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, so he'll also be called a Sankarshan. And the same person will give so much pleasure to the Vrajvasis. So that's why he'll also be called Ram. And also because he'll have tremendous strength, he'll also be called as Balaram. And then Prabhupada very frequently in his books, he points out that this Bala is not just physical strength, but actually Balaram means he has a lot of spiritual strength. So quoting from the Upanishads, Srila Prabhupada mentions, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhya. Balahinena. Without Bala, you won't get the Supreme Lord. You won't advance in spiritual realization. So it does not mean without physical strength we won't advance in spiritual realization. It means spiritual strength. We are dependent on Lord Balaram's strength to advance in spiritual realization. Advaita Acharya also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the mood of a servant, although he is Mahavishnu, but he also, because he is appearing as Bhakta Avatar, he is loudly proclaiming. So that's a very nice hallmark of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that all these personalities are so exalted. But if you hear those internal conversations, their intimate conversations, what they talk with each other, what did Advaita Acharya talk with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did Nityanand Prabhu talk with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you'll be amazed how they are always taking pleasure in serving. So he says, Chaitanyera Das Mui Chaitanyera Das. Chaitanyera Das Mui Tara Daser Das. So somebody whom we worship, in Chaitanya Leela he says, I am happy, I proclaim, I want to declare it to everyone. Not only I am servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I am servant of his servants. And then he says, Prema Dhana Vina Vyartha Daridra Jeevan Dasakori Vetan More Deho Prema Dhan. He requests Lord Chaitanya, please, please give me some service. And what do I want in return? A servant wants some salary. Prema Dhan. I want some affection for you. So without serving you, where is the question of affection? Why would you grant me your affection? So please give me that. Life without love is useless and poor, they say. Appoint me in thy service, O Lord, with love as my pay. He is praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if Lord Balaram, we establish, he is not a jiva, he is not even an amsha, he is not even a kala, yes, he is pratimurti, but why does he appear? He establishes to give us the highest standard. So then if he is a servant, and if he is so much in the servant mood, that he is shesha, he does not leave anything, any stone unturned for the service of Lord Krishna. How does he appear as an elder brother? A servant would usually prefer to appear as a younger brother. So there are some reasons for that. We'll see that. So in the earlier form, Lord Balaram had appeared as the younger brother of Lord Ramchandra in a fitting situation as a younger brother. So there, it's easy to serve. So then one incident that is mentioned is actually Lord Lakshman. He had taken a vow that if anybody asks him to disobey Lord Ramchandra, then he'll take that person's life. So in the situation where the golden deer has been sought by Sita Devi, then Lord Ramchandra is sent by Sita Devi to chase him. And then from a distance, this Marich, he impersonates Lord Ramchandra's voice. And he cries out, Hey Sita. So then Sita Devi tells Lakshman, you go and see, you go and check out. But Lord Ramchandra has specifically told Lakshman to not leave that place and guard Mother Sita. But then there's a heavy statement from Sita Devi, which is accusing the character of Lakshman. So then Lakshman has no recourse. What can he do? So then he has to leave that place. So at that time it is mentioned, now he has taken a vow that he'll take the life of that person who asks him to disobey. But the situation demands that he has to leave that place. So he takes his bow and now he's wondering what to do. He can't do it at the same time he's taken a vow. So at that time it is mentioned, Earth, who's the mother of Sita Devi, she appears at that place and she says, you need to shoot that arrow. So you shoot that arrow at me, the Earth, and I am the mother of Sita Devi. Sita Devi had appeared from the Earth. So harming the mother, shooting at the mother is just like harming the daughter. His mother is not different from the daughter. So the vow is also taken care of, and then the calamity would not happen. So then it is mentioned, in this way, Lakshman, with his arrow, he made that mark on the earth. So his vow got fulfilled. What he did not want to do did not happen. And in this way, he made that Lakshman Rekha, as they say. And then he advised, requested Sita Devi to not cross that. So it is mentioned, this situation was too heavy for him. So at that time, he decided that ever next time, if Lord, his master, wants him to appear again, he will never appear as a younger brother, but then he has to bow down to all these demands. Also, it is mentioned that when Lord Ramchandra asked Lakshman in the later part of Ramayana to escort Sita Devi to the forest, it was something that pained him. But then Lord Ramchandra had already told him, do not even speak a word, do not even ask a question. Just do what I tell you. So on that condition, he had received that service. So the whole purpose of his appearance is to serve, not leave anything in his service. And then Lord Ramchandra has told him, do not even ask, do not even speak a word. I'll tell you something, just execute it. So then that also was very heavy for Lord Lakshman. So at that time he decided, next time ever if I appear, I'm not coming as a younger brother, I'm going to come as Lord Balram. So it is mentioned that in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, Srila Roop Goswami mentions that the anxiety or the distress of not being able to serve the Lord, actually that manifested in the form of Ananga Manjari. Because some things as Balram he could not do. So then why? Because in this incarnation now the problem is, as a younger brother at least the position allows him to serve. So now if he is an elder brother, then many times Krishna would say, oh, you are elder brother, how can I order you? So there was one problem in the younger brother form. Now there is another problem in the elder brother form. This shloka that we read now, around these shlokas, it is mentioned that this chapter, 15th chapter, it is mentioned, sometimes when Lord Balram would get fatigued, when he and Lord Krishna would take the cows in the forest, Lord Krishna would make Lord Balram rest and Lord Krishna would massage his feet. So very embarrassing for Lord Balram. So that anxiety, that distress then manifested in the form of Ananga Manjari according to Srila Roop Goswami. What about Balram form? Is it that as he appeared in the form of Lord Balram, life was very easy for Lord Balram? No, it was not easy for Lord Balram. He had to accept sometimes, because he is the elder brother of Lord Krishna, he had to accept some service from Lord Krishna. Also, one of the most heartbreaking situations that is mentioned in the 10th canto, especially Vraj Leela, is that when Lord Krishna and Lord Balram were taken to Mathura by Akrura, and then all the Vrajvasis, their life is just hanging on a thread. And that thread is, I will come, I will return. One of the shlokas by Srila Roop Goswami, he mentions the internal heart of Radharani. So Srimati Radharani is mentioning to her girlfriends, actually the living entity, the soul, she is in a poetic way, she is saying, I am encaged in this body. So it's like you and me are encaged sometimes in a room. And then somebody set that home on fire, that somebody set that house on fire. So she's saying, the fire of separation from Krishna is like burning my whole body. But the soul then should leave this body. But the soul cannot leave the body because Krishna has bolted the door from outside. So what is the bolt on the door? The bolt on the door is his promise, I will come. So because he's bolted the door, I cannot escape from this home, and the home is burning and I am in the fire of separation. So this was almost the case of all the Vrajvasis. The peak was with Srimati Radharani. So at one point of time, Lord Balram, he cannot tolerate just thinking about this very difficult situation of the Vrajvasis. He knows, he was a witness to the situation, how all the Vrajvasis, they surrendered all their hearts and everything in connection to that. Manasa deho geho jo kichhu mor. So everything that they had was Krishna's, including they themselves. And Krishna also reciprocated with them to whatever extent he could. And Balaram had seen all these wonderful loving exchanges. So he is now seeing that Krishna promised, but he does not have any plan to go to Vrindavan. And he is anticipating what must be happening to the Vrajavasis there. So it is mentioned, Nityananda Swarupopi. How is Lord Balaram? Nityananda, he is always happy. Nityananda Swarupopi, Prema Tapto Vrajukasam. But he remembers the Vrajavasis who are Prema Tapta. They are burning actually. Then he says, Yayau Krishnam Apityaktva, Yastam Ramam Muhustuma. So Balaram, as a servant, he never wants to leave his master, Lord Krishna. And then Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram are in Mathura. But Tyaktva Krishna, this Balaram, out of compassion for the Vrajavasis, he could not just think about it. The Vrajavasis must be suffering like anything. He gave up the company of Krishna just out of his compassion for the Vrajavasis, and he traveled with the permission of Krishna. The servant that stays, he can't go against the will of Krishna. He traveled all the way to Vraj and tried to console the Vrajavasis. So what a difficult task. So as Lakshman, he was in a great difficult situation. Now also, because of a situation created by Lord Krishna, again he is undergoing the terrible pain of going to every single Vrajavasi. He went to every single Gopi, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and tried to console them. I will go. I will carry all your emotions. At least Uddhav carried a letter. So there was some letter written by Krishna. And Uddhav could read out that letter. So the gopis thought, oh, here is a personal messenger from Krishna. Balaram, he did not even get a letter from Krishna. So Balaram just carried the emotions of Krishna, spoke on behalf of Krishna, and he gave hundreds and hundreds of promises to the Vrajavasis. So imagine the situation of a servant. He wants to please the master, but you know, he's caught up in situations where in trying to please the master, it appears that he is defying the master. So Krishna wants to go, but he is not going. So then what to do? But he knows the internal heart of Krishna, that Krishna cares for those Vrajavasis, and the Vrajavasis care for Krishna. So Balaram, again, even as Lord in this Krishna Leela, he does a very heartbreaking task. And he is again thinking, it's very difficult to be in a servant mode, but he can't give it up. Tatra masa dvayam sthitva tesham swasthyam chikirshata. Tanna shaktam maya kartum vagbhir acharitai rapi. It is mentioned, he stayed there for 2 months. 2 months all Lord Balaram did was to console the Vrajavasis. He also gave some pleasure to some gopis in the form of his own activities with them. So those gopis who were too young, they were too young when Krishna had performed Ras Leela. So these gopis were different. So he gave pleasure to those gopis in that way, and then other Vrajavasis he gave by consoling them. It is also mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that he also erected or constructed many places so that in the future when Krishna comes, Vrindavan will have some suitable facilities for Krishna to enjoy. So there was some construction of different places at different spots in Vrindavan, just in anticipation of Krishna's coming in the future. So Lord Balaram, he tried to help in this way. And when he came to Mathura, he requested Krishna. It is mentioned, he conveyed all the emotions of the Vrajavasis and he told, please, at least once, kindly go to Vrindavan. They are scorching, they are getting burnt. And then what did Lord Krishna say? In a very non-emotional way, being totally undisturbed, he said, I will go. Non-passionate way, he answered Balaram, yes, I will go. So Lord Balaram, you know, he is caught up in many situations which we'll discuss ahead. He does not understand what to do. So Lord Balaram's situation is like this. To be in this situation, you need a lot of spiritual strength. How to serve Lord Krishna, Lord Ramchandra in these difficult situations. And when he saw the actions of Krishna, that Krishna did not plan, he did not go, Lord Balaram understood. Actually, he just lied to me. Krishna just told me I will go, but that was a false promise. Then Lord Balaram appears as Lord Nityanand. So then he enjoys in the early days So first part of his life is alone as a son of Hadai Pandit and Padmavati Devi in Ekachakragram. He is born far away from Navadvip. So he does not get to associate with Lord Chaitanya, his master, in his early days. But then one sannyasi comes and begs from his father that I want your son as my assistant. And his father has already promised, so then he becomes a sannyasi at his early age. And then at one point of time at Nandan Acharya's home, he meets Lord Chaitanya. And then for some years they both are together as Gaur Nitai, propagating the Sankirtan movement. But then what happens? At one particular time in Puri, Lord Chaitanya again does the unthinkable. So again, you know, difficult times come upon Lord Balaram as Lord Nityanand. What is that? One instance, Lord Chaitanya, he tells Advaita Acharya that you come to Puri every year, but I wish that you go to Bengal and distribute this holy name amongst all classes of people. So the word that is used for Advaita Acharya is achandale. Don't think who is fit and who is not fit, just give. That is my desire. And then he tells Lord Nityananda, Nityanande agya dila jaha gauda deshe anargala prema bhakti kariha prakashe. So in the last Brahmachari class, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu was discussing on this shloka. He mentioned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityanand Prabhu, go to Bengal and without restriction manifest devotional service to the Lord Krishna consciousness. He gave him two servants, Ram Das and Gadadhar Das. And then he said, don't come back. So in Puri, Lord Chaitanya himself was there and he was actively propagating the Sankirtan mission. As far as South India is concerned, he himself had travelled and then he had, just by his glance, he had empowered so many living entities to chant Hare Krishna. But why did Lord Chaitanya not distribute the prema, Krishna prema that he came to give in his own land of birth? So it is mentioned how when Lord Chaitanya, in his initial days, when he was living in Navadvip, the people of Navadvip were so much absorbed in logic, in nyaya, in arguments. So nowadays there is this Olympics going on. So today's sports are more of physical sports, running, jumping and so on, boxing and so on. So 500 years before, India was more famous for intellectual sports. So probably at that time competitions, if not Olympics, but the competitions would be about arguments. So they'll take some topic and then two opponents will argue and then who's better. So it is mentioned people in Navadvip, which was the land of birth of the Yuga avatar, people would endlessly argue. And some people who were not so intellectual, there are always those people, but because of opulence, they were so absorbed in sense gratification, they would practically arrange for marriages of their dogs and cats. It was just another reason to celebrate. Just some excuse to enjoy extravagantly, to enjoy some more sense gratification. So in this atmosphere, Lord Chaitanya did try to spread, but then one of his own students contradicted him. As a shikshak, as a grammar teacher, he had some students, and those, one of the students dared to instruct Lord Chaitanya, what is this? You know, you're chanting the names of the devotees of Krishna. Actually, don't you know the Vedic scriptures enjoin we should only chant the names of the Supreme Lord, not his devotees? So at that point of time, Lord Chaitanya decided these people are not ready for me to speak to them. And that's why Lord Chaitanya, if you see, he distributed the holy name in South India, in Puri, but he did not preach extensively, except, you know, the confidential homes of Srivas Thakur and some other few devotees. And that's why Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan in Navadvip would always happen behind closed doors. It was never open for other people. So that intention, that desire was still there in Lord Chaitanya's mind. What about Bengal? The sun and the moon have to rise. They have risen, but you know, simultaneously on the eastern horizon, Gaudodaya Pushpavanto. So he used Lord Nityanand and he told him, my desire is you preach there. I could not do there. But my thing is you don't come here. Because you love me as a servant. Now you don't come here. So again heartbreaking. As Lord Lakshman, he underwent a lot of trauma. As Lord Balaram, he underwent a lot lot of trauma. And now again as Lord Nityananda is saying, you would want to associate with me, but I have a higher desire from you, I have a higher expectation from you. You go and give this holy name to anyone and everyone. But then, will Lord Nityananda miss Lord Chaitanya? Then he says, sometimes, believe me, I will come in an invisible form and I will observe your dancing from a distance. So you spread the Sankirtan movement, and just because you are carrying out my order, although it is heartbreaking for you, just because you are following my order, I will give you my association, but I will be invisible to all. You will see me. So this is also something which is very difficult for a servant to get separated from the master. So in this world, you know, if you are attached to any spiritual personality, we are not talking of material attachments, and if you have spent your whole life serving that person, and God forbid that person tells you that I have a service for you which involves physical separation, it's quite heartbreaking. So there are many stories in the life of Srila Prabhupada's disciples how it was difficult. But what to do if Srila Prabhupada wants that to happen? Breaking their own heart, people have done great sacrifices. So His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, he went all the way to a country where bhakti was unheard of, it was not allowed to be practiced, China, and he preached there. But then anyone who does this hard task, following the footsteps of Lakshman, following the footsteps of Balram, following the footsteps of Nityananda Prabhu, he gets unlimited mercy from the Supreme Lord. But of course, it's not an ordinary person's job, and I'm sure, you know, only a fit person will get that order. Also, we can see how Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the primary book from which we understand the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami by the personal desire of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda instructed Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, please go to Vrindavan and write down the pastimes. If Lord Nityananda would not have mentioned to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, probably we would not have had such an extensive book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and no access to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. They would have gone down in the Kantha of Swarup Damodar Goswami and in the ears of Raghunath Das Goswami. It would not have flowed, and then you and me would not have known about Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Nityananda, although he is, that tattva is of service, and he is repeatedly exposed to the difficulties of service. So service means difficult. So service is always for the pleasure of the person who gives the service. It is very, very rarely including or accommodating the nature of the servant. So mostly, one of our devotees was mentioning, if you try to accommodate the mood of the servant in giving service, that is Varnashram Dharma. And if the servant accommodates the mood of the person who's giving service, that is bhakti. So that's where we are aiming at, although it may start from Varnashram. So it is the duty of the person who's giving service to always give it in such a way that the person may not find it difficult. So if somebody is giving service, he thinks, what would be too much for this person? And then it is his duty to give a service which will not be too much for the person who receives that service. And simultaneously, it is the duty of the person who receives the service to extend himself beyond his own limitations and try to serve the master in a way that he will find it better. So the servant tries to accommodate the mood of the master, while at the same time, the master tries to accommodate the mood of the servant. So this is how it can be done, and this is how we see Lord Ramchandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have given very difficult services to their most chosen leader of all servants, Lord Balram. What is the purpose of Lord Balram's appearance? So we'll just mention two short incidents. We wanted to speak a little bit about the identity of Lord Balram so that we know who is Lord Balram. So this small story, in essence, we'll cut it short. This is the time when Jarasandh has attacked Mathura for the first time, and Krishna and Balram are there in Mathura. So then Krishna, when he hears that almost like a sea has surrounded an island, Jarasandh comes with 23 Akshahuni armies. Mahabharata was 18 Akshahuni in total. This one king had 23 Akshavani. He almost surrounded like an ocean the whole city of Mathura and he attacks. Then what to do? He's primarily come to kill Krishna. Why? Because Krishna killed Kamsa and Kamsa has two wives. Asti and Prapti were the daughters of Jarasandha. So out of anger for making his two daughters widows, he wants to kill Krishna and he's come. So then Krishna tells Balaram, you and me will go and will fight. So Krishna and Balaram, they go out and fight. And in that fighting, there's a very beautiful description of how that fight went on in a very gruesome way. There's 23 Akshavani armies and only two warriors on this side, Krishna and Balaram, hardly 11 years old. But they almost massacred that entire army two-handedly. There's an expression, single-handedly, but they did two-handedly. So it is mentioned that the river was red and the warriors' heads that were severed, they were appearing as turtles in that river. The hands were appearing as some kind of snakes or alligators. The hair of the warriors were floating in the river of blood. It was appearing as it was seaweed, some plants that grow. And in this way, the thighs were appearing as elephants' heads. So it was a river in which the living entities, like a normal water river, but they were all the severed parts of the human bodies of the warriors. So gruesome war. And after all that, who was primarily fighting with Jarasandha? Because when Krishna went in front of Jarasandha, he said, I don't want to fight with you. He played a trick. He said, oh, you are just a young boy. I don't want to fight with you. And then Krishna said, okay, if he does not want to fight, then Balaram, you can fight. So Balaram primarily was fighting with Jarasandha. And it's not clearly mentioned there, but in the beginning of the war it is mentioned that Jarasandha refused to fight with Krishna and then Balaram was pushed forward. So at the end of this duel, it is mentioned Balaram caught hold of Jarasandha. And at that time, he could have killed Jarasandha. But Krishna mentioned to Jarasandha, Krishna mentioned to Balaram, leave him, don't kill him. I know what is his mood, he will go and fool that he is. He'll amass another army. He'll again attack. We'll sit here. He'll keep bringing his armies. We'll keep killing them. And we'll destroy. So during this war, there is one particular shloka which we wanted to focus on. So this is Lord Krishna who's speaking. Etad artho avataroyam. Isliye humne avatar liya hai. Etad artho avataroyam. Bhubhar haranaya me. The earth has a lot of bhara and we have descended to reduce this. Samrakshanaya sadhunam krito anyesham vadhayacha. So paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha dushkritam, he says. So now we'll stop this narration here and we'll go to another incident. So this incident is an incident connected to Lord Balaram. This incident was connected to Lord Krishna. Now the next incident is connected to Lord Balaram. This is the killing of Romaharshan Suta. So that is where it's a very significant story in the pastimes of Lord Balaram. So the story goes that Lord Balaram was on his pilgrimage during the Mahabharata war. He did not want to participate in that war. And then he arrives at Naimisharanya. At Naimisharanya, Suta, Romaharshan, was elected as a speaker and he's sitting on a seat and he's giving a class and Lord Balaram comes and all the sages there, they are high class Brahmanas, they get up out of respect for Lord Balaram. Only one person does not get up. That is Romaharshan. And Lord Balaram sees that. And Lord Balaram says, oh, you are from a high lineage. Rishir Bhagavato Bhutva. You are the disciple of Vyasdev himself. You have learned so much. You have learned the Puranas, the Itihasas, Dharma Shastras also. But somehow all that information has not produced any transformation. You are Natasya Eva. You are almost like an actor playing his part. Like you are a disciple of Vyasdev, you are a knowledgeable person, but there is no change in your behavior. And this calls only for one punishment, that you need to be killed. So there is one shloka which we wanted to focus on. This is spoken by Lord Balaram. So if you remember the shloka spoken by Lord Krishna, Etad Artha Avataroyam. So here now Lord Balaram is speaking, Etad Artha Hi Lokesmin Avataro Maya Krita. So Lord Krishna there spoke, I have come to this place, paritranaya sadhunam and anyaya vadhayacha, to kill anya, the dushkritis. So here Lord Balaram says, Etad artho hi lokesmin avataro maya kritah. Same two lines almost. And then he says, now here he also speak, main bhi kisi ka vadh karne ke liye aaya hun. Kiske liye? Vadhya mein dharma dhvajinas tehi patakino adhika. So Lord Krishna said, I have come here to protect my devotees and kill the rest. So anybody who is against dharma, I'm going to kill them. And he did arrange for their killing in the form of Mahabharata war. But Lord Balaram also speaks the same line and he says, but I have not come here to kill the adharmis, those who are against dharma. He says, I have come here to kill the dharma dhvajis. So what is this dharma dhvaji? Dharma dhvaji is a person who represents dharma. He is carrying the dhvaja, the flag of dharma. It means he is a pretender. He shows himself to be a religious man. He shows himself to be a follower of religion, dharma. But he is not. In his heart, he is actually against. And why is he speaking this? Because he was referring to Roma Harshan Sutta. Roma Harshan Sutta was given that seat to guide the rest of the world. But as a person who has received that responsibility, he should have also checked his character. So Lord Balaram says, Krishna has come, paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya dushkritam. I have not come here to do vinashaya dushkritam. Because he is the original Adi Guru, he is Swayam Prakash. He has come to eradicate the falsity, the pretension amongst those who stand for dharma. And that is why he is the original spiritual master. Spiritual master is somebody who does not tolerate, who does not advocate duplicity. He always teaches his disciples honestly to practice and to represent the proper principles which Krishna wants us to follow in this world. So I just thought this is very interesting how both mention in similar shlokas their purpose for advent, but he mentions adharmis and he mentions dharma dhvajis. So Lord Balaram is the original spiritual master. He, as we discussed, he teaches. But one very interesting which I thought was, we have four bona fide paramparas in this world in which if we receive spiritual knowledge, we are assured of purity. Lord Balaram has come to destroy impurity. But interestingly, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi Devi, the four Kumaras and Lord Brahma, these are the four leaders of the sampradayas. But Lord Balaram does not have a sampradaya. He is the Adi Guru, but he does not have a sampradaya. He is the teacher of all teachers. He does not have a sampradaya. So that is the mystery of Lord Balaram, that he does not leave any service unturned, but he does not want, he is not eager for any prominence. The four bona fide sampradayas, there are, and he is the guru of all gurus, but he does not have any parampara by his name. We cannot preach unless we are blessed by Lord Nityanand. We cannot preach unless we are blessed by Lord Balaram. But he does not have his own parampara. There is nowhere somebody who says, I'm a follower of Lord Balaram. Very rarely, very, very rarely. So many times in the scriptures we read about different devotees praying to the Supreme Lord. Oh my dear Lord, I want you as my son. Nabhi, he prayed. So many times other devotees say, I want proximity to you. Did you ever read a prayer where some devotee is praying to Lord Balaram, Lord Balaram, I want you as my son? We have not come across. So usually it is for Lord Krishna, it is for the Supreme Lord, but Lord Balaram, if that Supreme Lord asks him to come, he will come in the womb of Devaki, he'll prepare the womb for the appearance of his master, and he does not even have a sampradaya in his name, nobody even knows who he is. And he's undergoing all that traumatic experiences of serving the master of his heart while undergoing all the difficulties. So this is Lord Balaram. His identity is almost unknown. His identity is not properly understood by many people. He does whatever Krishna wants him to do. So it is mentioned when Krishna killed Kamsa in that arena, Krishna had eight younger brothers. And the eldest amongst those was a person called Kanka. So when Krishna killed Kamsa, those eight brothers got angry. Oh, this Krishna killed Kamsa, our brother. So they together attacked Krishna. So now Krishna, if he has killed Kamsa, who's unkillable by all these big demons like Putra and so on, does Krishna also deal with these eight brothers? No, Krishna shows his sensitivity. So according to Vedic principles, one never harms relatives, especially, you know, maternal uncle, those who are elders. So for Krishna, Kamsa is his maternal uncle, mama. Now why did then Krishna kill Kamsa? Because there was nobody else who could kill Kamsa. That was the purpose of his incarnation. Bhumi Devi had requested. So only because it was unavoidable, there was nobody else to do it, Krishna had to kill Kamsa. But as soon as the other mamas, the other eight younger brothers came, Krishna stepped to the side and he just indicated to Balaram, and Balaram understood Krishna wants to follow the sensitivity part. And then Balaram, because he is the son of Rohini, they are not his mama. So then he finished off those eight brothers. So all the difficult tasks, you know, yes, if there Krishna has appeared to do, Krishna will do, otherwise he'll request Balaram. And just an indication to Balaram, and Balaram finished off those eight brothers of Kamsa happily. That's why it is mentioned. Bhakta Abhiman. Bhakta Abhiman Mula Shri Balarame Sei Bhave Anugata Tara Amshagane. The primary mood of Bhakta, the primary mood of a servant, it is Mool, the root of all that is in Lord Balaram. And anybody who is a follower of Lord Balaram, who wants to be a servant, takes great pleasure in these activities of Lord Balaram and in this mood of Lord Balaram. We'll just discuss how, what is the need or what is the importance of Lord Balaram in our lives. We saw different activities that happened in Krishna Leela. So as we mentioned, Lord Balaram is the Adi Guru, he is the original spiritual master. So we'll discuss a little bit about what is the need of a spiritual master in our lives. Sometimes people of this world ask a question that, I have Krishna, I have full faith in Krishna. I know Krishna is the Supreme Lord. I have the Gita with me, the original words of the Supreme Lord. So now, is there really a need for a spiritual master in my life? Why don't I read the Gita? Why don't I just directly serve the Supreme Lord? So anybody who is there in this world and who has observed himself, he knows how our mind plays so many tricks with us. So there is definitely a need for training. There is definitely a need for somebody to train us. Yes, it is accepted that you want to serve Krishna. How to serve Krishna the best? What would Krishna like you to do so that he is happy? Or would you like to serve Krishna in a way that you would be happy? So all honest devotees will say, we want to serve Krishna in which he will be happy. So training is very much required. And for training, first is, you need to have proper knowledge. What does Krishna like? What does Krishna dislike? So the first function of a spiritual master is that he destroys the ignorance. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. That the supreme form, the spiritual master, he illuminates in the form of transcendental knowledge. It is mentioned, Parabhavastavad Abodhajata Yavanna Jigyasata Atma Tattvam. Rishabdev says, Parabhav Hoga Kab Tak Yavanna Jigyasata Atma. Till the time we don't inquire into the spiritual knowledge, the living entity repeatedly will undergo defeat in this world. Parabhavastavad. So if anyone of us wants to be successful in life, then Rishabdev is saying, the first thing to do is to receive knowledge about the Supreme Lord from a bona fide spiritual master. So in the fourth chapter of the Gita, we wanted to focus on one section. So this is after that famous shloka, Brahma Arpanam Brahma Havi Brahma Iva Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. I think it is 4.23 or 4.24. So after that, till 4.33, there are different types of yajnas that are mentioned. So this 4.23 or 24, it mentions how it is very important for us to sacrifice, to do a yajna to please Krishna. And then Lord Krishna mentions, don't think there is only one type of yajna, the Agnihotra. Yes, there are different ways. The brahmacharis sacrifice the hearing, their ears in the hearing process. The grihasthas sacrifice in the yajna of sense gratification. They sacrifice the objects of senses. In this way, he says, there is different types of yajnas, and he encourages every single person in human society to do some yajna. Yajna in the sense, you sacrifice some of something that you hold very dear in your life and you offer it to Krishna. And then he says, in 4.33, he says, Shreyan, Dravya Mayo Yagyat, Jnana Yagya Parantapa. He mentions, so all these yagyas that I mentioned, they involve sacrificing of some object or maybe some material thing. It may be subtle, it may be gross, but then he says, much more better than all this is Jnana Yagya. So what is Jnana Yagya? Jnana Yagya means, it can be understood in two ways. One is, where you do the Jnan, but not in a ritualistic way. You do Jnan, or you do a Yagya in knowledge. So if you are doing some Agnihotra, typically the way in which Yagyas are performed in this world, the pujari, the priest is chanting some mantras and nobody knows what mantras they are. And the Yajuman, or the person who is hosting it, he is just told, okay, now you offer this. So then he will offer this, and so on. So one way to understand that Jnana Yagya is, whatever yagya you are doing in your life, try to understand what is the purpose of this yagya. What is the oblation, what is the ahuti that I am putting? And another way in which it can be understood is, somebody is doing dravya yagya, somebody is doing some commodity or some object yagya. You try to sacrifice some time from your life. You try to sacrifice some energy of your life, some inclinations from your life to get Jnana about Krishna. Try to learn about Krishna. So Krishna is saying in this shloka, all of us, in addition to all those other yagyas that we do, we should always try to devote some time in our life specifically to come close to Krishna by getting knowledge about Krishna. And that's why, after advising that all of us should endeavor to learn more and more about Krishna, in 4.34, he gives us the process by which we can get that knowledge. So here is Krishna, and there is knowledge about Krishna, and Krishna is saying it's very important to find time to get knowledge about Krishna. Then the next question is, how do I get knowledge about Krishna? From you, Krishna? That's the question. But then Krishna says, no. Tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshana. Just try to approach a bona fide spiritual master, surrender to him, ask questions to him, make humble inquiries, and serve him. And in this way, you will understand knowledge about me. So most people want to approach Krishna, but Krishna is personally advising Arjun, you approach a bona fide spiritual master. So that word pranipat, pra, like prallad, is prakrishta rupena allad, more happy than allad. So he had some brothers, lad, samlad, anulad, it's mentioned. So he was Prahlad, he was the most happiest out of them. So what is pranipat? Prakrishta rupena nipat. What is nipat? Nipat means, the literal translation of nipat in Sanskrit means a clean slate. So you have a slate and you wipe it clean, that is called nipat. And pranipat means, many times we see it as surrender. Yes, it is surrender, but who will surrender? That person who has his heart like a clean slate is the person who wants a spiritual master to write something on the slate of his heart. So if we typically go to a classroom and there's a board there and there's already a lot of things written there, and then if you want to write something there, you can't write. In fact, if something is already written and you write something there, it gets more confusing. So if you see somebody who's not wanting to learn but who's wanting to teach, then you would want to keep quiet and say, okay, it's all right. Yes, there is no readiness to learn. So if you see the first chapter of Gita is, you will see, who is the guru? Arjun is the guru. And who is the disciple? It is Krishna who is the disciple. Arjun keeps speaking. Yes, it is like this and that's how it should be done and probably this is the writing. So what does Krishna do? He keeps quiet. He sees that the board already has a lot of things written on there, so there is no point in writing. But then what is the result of all that? The result of all the speaking or the guruship of the living entity is that there is shoka. And finally, when at one point of time, 2.6, 2.5, 2.6, when Arjun understands, actually all that has resulted from my being the guru and making Krishna the disciple is just shoka and it's just indecision. He says, oh, I don't know what is right, I don't know what is wrong. Then in 2.7, actually he takes a viper and he karpanya dosho apahata swabhava. He said, I become a disciple, from now onwards you become my guru and I'll become your disciple. And then what is the result? The previous result was shoka, now it is shloka. So many times although we are face to face with the Supreme Lord, but you know, this is a representative situation that Arjun, when he is guru, he does not learn, his problem is not solved, he keeps on speaking very high philosophy, but it only ends in indecision. So that's what you and me undergo. We know what is to be done. We have all the decisions laid out in front of us. And sometimes we will speak to our superiors. So, you know, it is like, if there are problems in my life, then I know what is to be done. And then I look at Krishna and say, Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are a very powerful person. So my brain and your hands, they are the best combination. I'll tell you what to do and you keep on doing what is supposed to be done, and that's how my problems will be solved, the world will be a better place. But after 2.7, what is Arjun teaching us? Your brain and my hands. So you tell me what to do, I'll keep shooting, I'll keep fighting. So that is how we should approach the spiritual master, and that is what that means, pranipat, you wipe the slate clean. So then, because sometimes surrender is considered as a mute acceptance of what the superior speaks. So Krishna very beautifully chooses words. First is pranipat. So you submit, but not in a mindless way, not in an unintelligent way. Then he says, pariprashnena. So pariprashnena means, now you make humble inquiries. Oh, you said like this, but then how to understand this? So it's not just a blind acceptance. And then, to understand it properly, so first there was surrender, then you got knowledge, but to digest that knowledge, there should be some seva. So when there is knowledge and when it is combined by some service to your superiors, then it becomes realization, then it becomes a proper understanding. So this is the process that Krishna mentions in the Gita as far as approaching him is concerned. One very beautiful shloka in the Srimad Bhagavatam is 3.25.8. This is Mother Devahuti speaking to Lord Kapila Dev. Because we are discussing about this blind acceptance, so we wanted to speak on this shloka. Tasyatvam tamaso andhasya. So somebody is blind by tama, by ignorance. And she's saying, so you, Kapila Dev, tasyatvam tamaso andhasya dushparasya adya paragam. She says the material ignorance is dushpara. It is very difficult to cross over. But she uses in the same line, she uses the word paragam. Para, same para. Dushpara means it is difficult to overcome. And paragam means you can help somebody to go para. So it's like saying, oh spiritual master, you are that person who can help me to cross over something that cannot be crossed. And then it is mentioned, how you will help me. So we feel, you know, if there is a river to be crossed, and then I want somebody to cross that river, then I'll catch his hand, make him sit in a boat, and then take him across. So I have to get personally involved in this way. Very beautiful lines Mother Devahuti says. In the next line she says, Sat chakshur janmanam ante labdham me tvad anugrahat. So it is dushpara, the material world is dushpara, and you are that person who can help me do para. You can take me across. How? By giving me, you will become my eye and you will teach me how to see this world. So how does spiritual master carry his disciple across the river of ignorance, across the big material ocean? Not by like personally catching hold of him. He enlightens his disciple to see the world. He gives a vision to his disciple. He gives him a different way to look at the world. He gives him a paradigm change to look at the world. We look at the world in a way that, how will I utilize this world to serve me? The spiritual master teaches us the vision, how to see the same world in a way that how it can be utilized for serving Krishna. So by giving a vision, he makes the dushpara para. There's a very beautiful shloka in the prayers by the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb. I'll just speak the first two lines. So here, they are glorifying the spiritual master, saying, Swayam samuttirya sudusturam dhyuman. They are addressing Krishna and then saying, the saintly people of this world, Swayam samuttirya, they are so amazing, they cross the ocean of material nishayans themselves. But then what they do? They leave behind the method by which other people can cross. So usually if there is a very terrible river, Bhavaranavam Bhimam Adabhra Saurudha, the second line is, this material world is, it's a very fearful place, but they are Adabhra Saurudha. The saintly people, the spiritual master is the most well-wishing friend of all the living entities. So what he does, he crosses over. Now usually when somebody crosses over a very difficult, he would not want to come back. He would not want to take that risk. But what does the spiritual master do? He crosses over and he leaves the method for others to cross over. So this is a difference between the Vedic understanding of a spiritual master. It's not somebody who will lead him by the hand. He leads him by the eyes. He empowers his disciple to rise higher and learn by himself. Like Prabhupada would say, all of us have to learn to fly our own plane eventually. Yes, there is a training. But the co-pilot, the teacher pilot will not always be there with you, sitting next to you and telling you what to do and how to do. There is, in the training period he is there. But the Vedic culture believes in elevating the person's consciousness. And in this way, the spiritual master enlightens. In the first 1 or 2 months in ISKCON, you know, if we attend all classes, if we read the books, we know what is to be done. The rest of our lives is spent in application. So if you do the primary 6-session Gita course, you understand all the tattvas. Ishvara tattva, Jiva tattva, Kala tattva, Karma tattva, Prakriti tattva. And you know what is what, their relationship. And all those technical facts you know. But then what? That's not the end of spiritual life, that's the beginning of spiritual life. So then whole life we have to learn to apply. So the second function of a spiritual master is, first is he enlightens us. Second is he trains us. He trains us how to balance between our old conditionings and the new expectations. He teaches us maturity. Sometimes in the name of maturity, let's say there's some argument. So in the name of maturity, sometimes we may not talk at all. That's not the solution. And sometimes in the name of humility, we may not speak at all. So there are many dvandva. This material world is always full of dualities. And no matter how much we want to go to a utopian conception that I want a day in my life when things will be very clear, sab kuch saaf ho jayega. Abhi mere jeevan mein bahut kuch sandeh hai, bahut kuch, there are a lot of doubts, do this, do that. All of us, unknowingly, we have that hope for one day in our life when all my problems will be solved. Somehow, if you look at different scriptures, that day does not come. There is no such day where everything will be clear. The whole part is, when you are here, you learn how to deal with the dualities, learn to tolerate, learn to become humble, learn to understand how to deal with different people of different natures. So if you look at all the devotees of the Lord, from Prahlad to the Pandavas to the Gopis, you see, they all had to undergo difficulties, but the golden part is, of their personality is, they tolerated it and they were thankful to the Lord. They saw it as education. They saw it as a training process. So the spiritual master, he does that. One person was asking, you know, this is just an example. He said, sometimes we are correct but not right. So in maybe another 5 minutes, we'll finish. So the question was asked to one student. There was one agreement signed between two parties. Where was it signed? So he answered, it was signed at the bottom of the page. It's a correct answer. Yes. Or he was asked, which battle did this king die? Then he said, in his last battle. So it's a correct answer, is it not? But it's not a right answer. So many times in our lives, we are correct but not right. In the sense, we are technically correct. What we do, what we speak, how we behave, you have some reference to it and you can show, see, this is how it is correct to write, behave like this, it is correct to speak like this. But when we are living in a community, when we are living in a society of devotees, it may not be the right thing to do. One time, one of the disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in the West, he was staying in one temple and there was one very senior Srila Prabhupada disciple there who was the leader of that temple. And the preaching strategies were a little bit different. So because he was from an earlier time, he had a particular way of preaching. And this person was of the newer generation. So then he had some other idea. So there was some small conflict. And it seemed that this disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he was correct. So then the argument was going back and forth. So then he referred to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Then Radhanath Maharaj said, Vaishnavism is not about being right, and Vaishnavism is not about being wrong. Vaishnavism is about being beyond right and wrong. So he was, I'm linking it to this point of being right, not just correct. So technically this person was correct, but culturally he was not right. So Maharaj was saying, he's an elderly disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he is on the category of your spiritual master. So just because he is speaking, out of respect for him, you agree to what he's saying. Although you have 10 reasons to say how if things are done by your way, it would give much more better results. That's not the point. The point is, we do what pleases Krishna and we do what pleases the authorities. That's what matters. So it is mentioned, one person is saying, who says we don't exercise? We jump to conclusions. We throw our weight around. We twist the truth. We stretch the lies. We bend the rules. We push our luck. We lift our egos. And we run away from tough situations. We do a lot of exercise. But yes, still there are problems in our lives. I'll give one more story from the life of one of the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj spoke this in one of his classes. This is about one of very senior disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, some Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. So he's even beyond sannyas. So Babaji Maharaj, because he was a Paramahamsa devotee, he would just relish the holy name. And anywhere anybody is chanting the holy name, he would participate. So it turned out that he was staying in a mutt of one of his god brothers, sannyasis, disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in Mayapur. So he would participate in all the kirtan programs, bhajan programs in the temple, in the mutt, Gaudiya mutt. But sometimes he would see some devotees in Mayapur chanting the holy names and he would go with them. And then wherever they went, he would go and then he would participate. So it turned out many of those people were sahajiyas. So who is a sahajiya? He takes things in a sahaj way. Sahaj is, he takes them in a cheap way. Sahajiya is a person, in the words of His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he wants a salary without working. So he wants Krishna prem, but he does not want to do sadhana bhakti. He does not want to follow the regulative principles and so on. So this news came to the Mathadish, the sannyasi who's leader of that mutt. And he approached Babaji Maharaj and said, Babaji Maharaj, you are a Paramahamsa and you are following those people not because of their behavior. They are just chanting holy name. And you are just attracted to the holy name. So you go there. But I have a request for you. Because you are a respectable personality, you have to set a standard for others. So what happens to all these neophyte devotees in the mutt who have joined the mutt, and for them you are their leader, you are a source of inspiration. So you are not affected by the sahajiya mentality and by the sahajiya philosophy. But when they see you going, they feel, oh, this is approved. Sahi baat hai, hum bhi kar sakte. So he said, I request you, don't do this. But then what happens? Pure devotees are pure devotees. Yes. They are just spontaneously attracted to the holy name. So again it was found out that Babaji Maharaj was still associating with those groups. Then what happened? So this Mathadish, he called Babaji Maharaj to his mutt. And then crying tears. He said, we have to come to a tough decision. We cannot allow you to stay in this mutt any longer. Why? Because you are having a wrong influence on the newer devotees. So what did Babaji Maharaj do? Babaji Maharaj went away. Because Babaji Maharaj had to follow the matter. He is more advanced in relation to the person who's giving him that order. But he, showing the character of an exalted devotee, followed the orders of his junior, went away. And then after a few days, he returned back. So then again this news went to Maharaj. Arey, who aaye hain Babaji Maharaj? Then he went and said, didn't I tell you that you are not allowed in this temple? Then Babaji Maharaj, in a very humble way, he said, you advised me to go away from the temple. You did not advise me to return to the temple. So yes, I went away. I followed your order. But I can't give up the association of all of you. Of all of you are my god brothers. How can I give up? So then I have come back. And then Babaji Maharaj said, I realized what I am doing. And from today onwards, even though I am spontaneously attracted to those devotees who are chanting the holy name, but they are sahajiyas. They set a wrong example for the sadhaka bhaktas. The path given by Rupa Goswami is not the sahajiya path. The path given by Rupa Goswami is the 64 items of devotional service with nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Babaji Maharaj changed himself. And he, you know, he put himself under that mold of sadhana bhakti, so to say, just to set a good example for his juniors. So this is doing the right thing, although it may not be the correct thing to do. His heart was calling him there outside, but he was doing the right thing. So this is what the spiritual master teaches. This is what he teaches, that many times the spiritual master is at a different level, but he, you know, he will do sadhana bhakti visibly. Like we have seen, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, every day in the morning, even though he's sick, many times he's tired, exhausted, he will always come in the japa period. He has a specific place in the temple hall. He'll come and sit there. He can chant the same quality of japa outside the temple hall, within the temple hall, and so on. But just to set an example, whereas we have a great difficulty finding that kind of repeated determination to do sadhana bhakti. But this is what the spiritual master teaches. So first thing he gave was information, knowledge, Om Ajnana Timirandhase, we saw that. And then he also gives us training, he gives us by his personal example of how to live by that life. There are a few other points, but it's already beyond time, so we'll stop here. This was my first class where I'm speaking about a personality. Usually I give Bhagavatam classes. So if there is any mistake and if I could not speak properly, please forgive me. Thank you very much for your patient listening. I was encouraged to see so many devotees and that's why I could speak. So I'm grateful to every single one of you sitting here. Hare Krishna. Shri Balram Ji Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai.